Hello and welcome to Gilmore Ball Z, a podcast where I show my husband Gilmore Girls, he shows me Dragon Ball, and we try to find some sort of common ground. I'm Paige.
And I'm Grant.
And this week we watch Gilmore Girls Season 5, Episode 9, and Dragon Ball Z Kai, Episode 107. So Grant, what happened on Gilmore Girls?
Oh, let's see, what did happen on Gilmore Girls? So, we had, like, a Lorelai and Rory plot. I guess it was like a Christopher plot. I don't know. The plots got a little muddy this episode. But anyway, so
what happened with Emily?
Well, no, I got this. So Lorelai asks, Lorelai gets asked by Suki how things are going with Christopher. Like, oh, what's happened? I haven't heard anything since Sherry left. And Lorelai realizes she hasn't heard from Christopher in a while. And our devoted listeners might remember that the reason that Lorelai hasn't heard from Christopher in a while is because Rory specifically told him, hey, don't talk to Mom anymore, because you ruin everything whenever you show up in her life. Which, not necessarily your place to decide as the child in this relationship, but also fair, Rory. So Christopher has been adhering to his daughter's wishes and leaving Lorelai alone. But Lorelai reaches out to him and is like, hey, how's it going? How are things? Let's get lunch. And at first he's kind of awkward, but he realizes, like, well, I can't just tell her no now. Like, that would be awkward and weird, and then I don't want it to, like, she'd probably be upset if she found out what Rory said to me. So he's like, okay, fine, I'll meet you for lunch. And, like, I'll bring Gigi, we'll have lunch at the inn, it's no big deal. And he just kind of figures, like, he'll do his best to make this work. But then, since Lorelai doesn't totally understand what all is going on, she then invites Rory separately of, hey, let's get together for lunch, and, you know, doesn't tell each one that the other's coming and thinks it'll be a, ooh, surprise little family lunch thing. So when Rory shows up and sees Christopher, she kind of shuts down and gets frustrated and angry and snippy. And so it's just kind of a weird air around lunch. And Lorelai gets called off screen for wacky reasons, and so Rory and Christopher get a minute to talk, and Christopher's like, I swear, I did what you told me, but she invited me to lunch, what are you talking about? Like, what was I supposed to do? And Rory's like, oh yeah, right, you know.
Sure, whatever.
Whatever, Dad, I don't believe you. Rory was just kind of obnoxious in this episode.
She was a petulant child.
She was really obnoxious in this episode. And so then Christopher, like, makes an excuse and leaves before they even eat. So then she tells, like, Lorelai asks Rory, what was that about? And Rory tells Lorelai, oh, I asked him not to see you anymore. Because, like, every time he shows up, just it ruins everything. She's like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, you were engaged to Max, and then suddenly Dad came back into your life, and you didn't want to marry Max anymore. And Lorelai rightly points out that not wanting to, like, not her not marrying Max had nothing to do with Christopher, which it didn't. It just had to do with the fact that Max was terrible. And just in general, whenever he shows up, everything gets all messed up because Sherry gets pregnant or whatever. And, you know, Rory has a point, but the way she goes about saying it really does make her sound like a spoiled child. And she really points out, like, okay, then what did Luke say when he said you were going to be meeting Christopher? And Lorelai's like, well, he said it was fine. But in reality, she didn't tell Luke. And she starts to get self-conscious about that later. Like, should I have told Luke? Should I have mentioned it? It's not that big of a deal, right? What? And then she starts to feel guilty that she didn't mention to Luke she was seeing her ex. So then she kind of casually drops it in conversation around Luke. And you can see there's a moment where he's only kind of half paying attention to her story while he's doing stuff around the diner. And then as soon as Christopher's name comes up, Luke kind of, like, looks up and processes for a second. He's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And pretends like it's fine when it obviously bugged him. So then later he's talking to TJ because he's helping TJ with some plumbing project, because I guess TJ is still in this show. And he asks, like, TJ, do you get jealous sometimes? Like, hypothetically, if Liz had, like, gone out and had, like, lunch with one of her exes, that wouldn't upset you? And he's like, no, that wouldn't upset me. That's, you know, that kind of possessiveness has landed me in jail, which, like, I want to hear more about that. Twice. I want to hear more about that. I'm like, no, I moved on past that. But then he flies off the handle and gets angry. And he's like, wait, who did Liz have lunch with? Because TJ's a fucking idiot and doesn't understand how hypotheticals work. And so I guess seeing that TJ flew off the handle, made Luke realize that getting jealous is bad?
I guess. It was unclear.
So at the end of the episode, he's like, hey, Lorelai, it's okay that you had lunch with Chris. Like, don't worry about it. It's cool. Like, you don't need to feel bad. And I guess that counts as a Lorelai plot. Paris observed Ramadan, and Marty still exists.
Yep.
That's basically the Yale plot. Rory mentions to Marty that she broke up with her boyfriend, and he's like, oh, okay, so you broke up with your boyfriend, and then she's like, fell asleep because they were studying. So Marty is still obviously interested in her, but also like, okay, I'm not really sure what that was all about. But yeah, like, he's interested in her, so I guess we're being reminded that Marty still exists. So the other big plot in this episode was kind of a grandparents plot, because Rory decides, hey, I have an idea for Friday night dinner. What if we split up? So I'll have dinner with Grandpa, and she says to her mother, you have dinner with Grandma, and we can maybe talk to them and see if we can get them back together, because I really think that they miss each other. They're just both too proud to say anything about it. Rory bases this hypothesis on absolutely nothing, but whatever. And so
Rory knows what's best for all the adults in her life's relationships.
All of them. So she has dinner with Richard, and she drops some very, very obvious hints.
They're not hints.
They're not hints. She talks about how, I don't know, the pool house is nice, but his regular house he's been in for 40 years, and so obviously that worked for a reason, and he should go back to it. And Richard just expertly deflects the conversation, and they have a frozen pizza and have a nice daughter, you know, grandfather-granddaughter night in with pizza.
Yeah, Rory has all the subtlety of Goku.
Yeah, pretty much.
And all the maturity.
Of Goku.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rory is convinced that this went amazingly. I don't know where she got that impression.
And the intelligence of Goku.
Eh, she's a little smarter than Goku.
Not in this episode.
I don't know. She understood how to, you know, make a metaphor, even if it was very thinly veiled.
Anyway.
So then Lorelai has dinner with Emily, and that goes about as well as you would expect. But Lorelai takes the very different tactic of just kind of going, so Mom, you think you're going to get back together with Dad? And Emily says no. And she goes, okay. Like, she gives up. That's it. She doesn't really care. Which I find it hard to believe that Lorelai wouldn't care, but whatever. And so Emily kind of rants a bit about how they were at a dinner event the other day, and Richard didn't offer her the butter to butter her roll. Which, like,
I'm pretty sure we've gotten divorced like 6 times over that.
Like, that's something that I feel like in a better episode could have been really well done, but just felt like Emily being ridiculous. But we can talk about that more later.
Yep.
But the important thing is Emily is like, I've decided I want to start dating. And Lorelai does not know how to process this information. And it's actually kind of interesting. She's like, Lorelai, I need your help. Because you've dated a good number of men. And you've dated more recently than I have. And I really don't know what dating is like anymore. So can you help me? I don't know how to make it clear to a man that I'm interested. Other men around the club and stuff have expressed interest in me, but I don't know how to reciprocate in a way that isn't going to be embarrassing myself.
Yeah.
And Lorelai's like, just go up to him and say hello. He's like, oh, won't hello be too forward? Like, no, just go up and say hello. So we don't see it, but Emily, apparently at the club, goes up and says hello to a man named Simon. Mm-hmm. And apparently this goes swimmingly because by the end of the day, they've got a dinner date. So later in the episode, Lorelai gets a call from Emily freaking out. She's just like in her dressing gown in her room, freaking out, trying to figure out what to wear. And she's panicking and she's not sure what to do. And, oh, he's going to be here any minute. And Lorelai, you need to help me. I need to figure out what I'm going to wear. What's appropriate to wear on a first date? And what do I say? And what conversation topics are off limits? And what should I order? And blah, blah, blah. And she just has no idea. And so Lorelai goes over to help her. And at first, Lorelai is not taking this at all seriously, and Emily gets frustrated. But Lorelai says, like, Mom, is this really what you want? And she says, yes, this is what I want. Before I married your father, I was freaking out about how this would be, like, I would never get an opportunity to see anybody else again, and this is just what I was locking into for the rest of my life. And I accepted that, but now I have to reopen that door when I'd closed it 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know, so I want to do this right. And so then Lorelai's like, okay, fine, and helps her pick a dress. And so the episode ends with Emily returning from this date, because we see her on the date. It looks like it's a date that goes pretty well. Emily is charming, the guy's charming, they laugh about things, they get along well. It looks like it actually is a nice date. They have a little bit to drink, and he walks her to the door, but, like, he doesn't ask if he can come in or anything. He doesn't even kiss her goodnight. He's, you know, they're obviously...
They shake hands.
Like, they're obviously still both following the same kind of upper-crust society code about how dates work. This guy is not, like, you know, trying to jump into Emily Gilmore's bed on the first date or anything. But they have a great time, and he says, like, I had a great time. I hope I can see you again, blah, blah, blah. Everything looks great. She goes inside. She closes the door. And then there's just, it was trying to be another one of those quiet Gilmore Girls moments.
But they cut it off really early.
Yeah, she looks like contented for a minute, and then her little smile just kind of turns into a little grimace, and she just starts crying.
Yeah.
And she's just standing in the empty foyer of the house, sobbing, and that's where the episode ends. So, I don't think I missed anything, really. That's basically what happened on Gilmore Girls. What happened this week on Dragon Ball Z Kai?
Not much, honestly. I know I said that last time, but I think both of us had notes like, why is this a multi-episode thing?
It's true, we do both have written down, why is this fight multiple episodes?
So, basically, Gohan and Videl are still in line for the punch machine that is now back up and punching.
They spend most of the episode in line for the punch machine,
which is malfunctioning. Meanwhile, it's the kitty fights. Baby fights is happening.
Baby fights!
Baby fights are happening in the arena. They show us a lot of the baby fights, and they're kind of funny, because there are lots of crying babies who then punch the crap out of another baby.
Yeah, it seems like the winning strategy for the junior division is cry, then punch. Because we see multiple fights where one kid hits the other kid, so the other kid starts crying, and so then the kid who did the punching stops for a second and goes, huh? Wait. And is, like, confused and feels bad that he made the other kid cry. And so then the crying kid just wails on him and knocks him out, and then the crying kid wins.
It's true. And there seems to be all sorts of martial arts here. There's also a sumo wrestler who's 10, but mm-hmm. the size of, like, 2 20-year-olds. Pretty impressive. Meanwhile, after we get done with Pepperoni and all the other babies, that's an actual baby in this fight. After all the other babies under the age of 15 have fought, we get to Trunks fighting the blonde kid from last episode who's super ripped, and he beats him almost immediately. His mom is in the stands, and I don't know if she's supposed to be Southern gentility or white trash. It's really hard to tell because she has a white trash accent. Her kid's white trashy, but she's wearing, like, a nice dress and pearls and gloves to this match. And I don't know if that's supposed to be, like, her being white trash trying to be classy, or just they don't know enough about American stereotypes to portray them. But she's yelling about her kid and how disappointed she is that her camera broke with Piccolo's camera breaking powers, so she can't put anything in her kid's scrapbook. But, you know, he's gonna beat up that baby, and Bulma's like, excuse me. Excuse me, miss.
Yeah, so she happens to be sitting next to Bulma and Chi-Chi in the stands.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Trunks just beats this kid in 2 seconds. He knocks him out completely. Goten does the same thing to her other kid, who is his first opponent. Just knocks both of these babies out, and this woman doesn't like Chi-Chi or Bulma very much at this point, because
there's a lot of trash talk.
There's a lot of trash talk. In fact, there is one point where Bulma goes past trash talk to trash action, because actions do speak louder than words, and is showing Trunks how to beat up a child by punching Oolong in the face. She just picks up the little pig guy and just starts beating him up. Like this, honey! Meanwhile, like, just obviously Trunks and Goten are beating everyone in their fights just easily, handily, until it finally gets to the championship round, where thankfully Trunks and Goten have been placed far enough away in the bracket that they don't go up against each other until the very end. They were in two halves of the bracket.
Isn't it funny how that works out?
Finally, Gohan is able to pop in just as the getting's good. Finally, the punch machine is unbroken. Videl is shocked by the level of fighting she's seeing. Mr. Satan's terrified because whoever wins this round gets to punch Mr. Satan. And I think the audience starts to get excited. Chi-Chi and Bulma are rooting for their kids. Goku's rooting for everybody because Vegeta's not saying anything. He's standing back in the corner grimacing, and Goku has apparently decided to be enough dad for both these children.
Yeah, Vegeta does not move one frame. Like, he's not animated at all in this entire episode.
No.
He strikes the exact same pose in the same spot. They did no animation work went into Vegeta this episode.
For all we know, Vegeta has just replaced himself with a cardboard cutout of Vegeta.
It's true. Maybe he's off doing something else.
Maybe he's all having adventures. Then the episode ends. No resolution to who has the upper hand in this fight. They just dragged it out, and now we'll have another episode of tiny baby fights.
It's true. Although you missed the most important part.
Which is?
That after Goten beat the horrible woman's other son, she decided to get up and start a fight with Bulma and Chi-Chi in the stands, and then Chi-Chi knocked the horrible mother out with one punch.
That's true.
That is important to know.
It's important to know. But that's what happened roughly this week on Dragon Ball.
That's true.
Grant, what did you think of Gilmore Girls this week?
This week's Gilmore Girls was a lot of really good ideas, all really poorly implemented.
Yep.
Because, like, I was really into Rory telling her father off back when it happened.
Yep.
So more resolution on that sounded like fun. But it was just kind of like Rory... I don't know, Rory was just really, really obnoxious this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I like Rory, even when she's not being the best. But she was just like...
a petulant child.
She really was acting like a spoiled child this entire episode. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it turned on a dime and now suddenly she's just like that.
I don't know if it was the writing or the directing or Alexis Bledel was just...
having an off week or something. I don't know. But it was bad. And then like even... So I don't know. That sounded like it could be fun, but it really just resulted in everybody finds out all the information... the end.
The end.
I mean, I guess Lorelai gets a phone, like, misses a call from Christopher later at the end of the episode. I forgot to mention this.
And decides not to call
him
back.
So, like, the fact that she didn't tell Luke made her feel a little bit insecure, and so she realized that maybe she shouldn't be talking to Christopher, because Rory does kind of have a point that whenever he enters in her life, it kind of screws up what's going good for her. So, like, I guess that was a little bit of a change for Lorelai in how she's viewing her relationship with Luke, but, like, I'm not here for seeds of doubt being planted in Lorelai and Luke's relationship.
Because of Christopher?
Yeah, especially because of Christopher. Like, I don't know. I feel like that is ignoring the clear development that we saw for Lorelai in the last episode with Christopher.
Yep.
When she came over to help him, and she very clearly acted differently around him.
Yeah.
And, like, that established that she had gone through some growth in how she thinks about Christopher.
She had clear boundaries.
Yeah, and now this is backpedaling that in Lorelai not trusting herself.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating to me. And again, like, Rory taking it upon herself to try to grandparent trap Richard and Emily could be a fun premise for an episode. And, like, Rory learning, hey, just because you want something to stay a certain way doesn't mean it's going to.
Yeah.
Would be a good premise for an episode, even if it's a little late for Rory to be learning that. They could find a way to make it work. But instead it was just like, Rory is horribly unsubtle.
Yeah.
And that was just the end of that plot.
I've seen this plot done before with literal children as the character.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, Emily going on the date was fun, but I didn't buy her crying at the end.
Yeah, no, if they had given, like, even if they'd given Emily Bishop another 30 seconds to a minute, they might have been able to, like, give her a moment where, like, she goes in the house and then she sees something of Richard's.
Or seed that somewhere earlier in the episode, mm-hmm. because the way that we, like, everything we see of Emily earlier in this episode really does genuinely give the impression that, like, she's kind of done with Richard.
Well, and even, like, if she had kissed him.
Yeah.
If she had, like, had been having a good time, then kissed him, and then realized, like, what am I doing?
That feels wrong.
I kissed, you know, a man who's not my husband. Sure, but all we see on the date is her having a good time, and then she shifts very quickly as soon as she gets in the house without giving Kelly Bishop, as an actress, the space to develop that emotion.
Yeah, or, like, at the date, some story comes up from something she went to with Richard or something.
Yeah.
Like, give us something to show her that she's thinking about Richard and thinking about what she liked about being with Richard. Well, because all we've gotten is like, oh, he's inconsiderate and doesn't care about me anymore, so I guess it's time for me to move on. And I buy that from her in, earlier in the episode.
And the thing is, it's not clear if she's sad because she feels bad about, you know, like if she feels this is cheating on Richard, if she feels that this man isn't as good for her as Richard would be, or even if it has nothing to do with Richard, that she's mourning the fact that her marriage is really over.
Yeah.
And she thought she was ready for this, and she's not. Like, all of these are perfectly good reasons. Like, it kind of reminds me of the scene in Endgame where he, like, the guy is talking in the support group about his date, and mm-hmm. he's like, I started crying during the salad course. Or he started crying during the salad course. Well, when did you cry? Dessert.
Dessert. I'm going to see him again. Like, yeah there's something happening there. But yeah, that didn't...
No, it didn't. The source of her grief is really not well established, and so it doesn't feel like an emotion that has grounding. And this is the kind of thing, like, this is something we know Emily Bishop can do as an actress. They just don't give her space for it.
Kelly Bishop.
Why do I keep saying Emily Bishop? Who is Emily Bishop?
She's a poet.
Right. Read some Emily Bishop, kids.
Emily Bishop is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically how I felt about that. Like, it was a good idea, but his execution was just way off.
Actually, can I swap Kelly Bishop and Emily Bishop? The art of losing isn't hard to master, Kelly.
So, like, yeah, that was frustrating. And then, like, there's... I'm sorry, I just hate TJ.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's just, like, I kind of was on board with him at first, and lately he's just been really obnoxious. And I'm not... It felt like he was there to help leverage this plot with Lorelai, but I didn't quite buy it. And then, like, I feel like Luke and TJ working together on a project and getting to talk and getting to know each other could have been a good premise for an episode mm-hmm. to actually give TJ some more depth, especially after the last episode when we saw a very ugly side of TJ and Liz, to then show us, like, maybe... they have a heart-to-heart while they're working, and we get to see something a little bit more about really why TJ and Liz really love each other, mm-hmm. would have been good, but instead he was just kind of there to be dumb and maybe kind of set off character development for Luke, but it didn't work.
Well, and I think the problem here is that they've never established a Suki for Luke. Luke doesn't have any friends.
No, he doesn't.
They want him to have someone to talk to about things in his relationship with Lorelai, because... previously, he acted as a friend for Lorelai. Now that he's her boyfriend, he needs someone to talk to about his relationship. And he doesn't have Jess anymore.
No, he doesn't have Jess.
And I know Jess isn't even, you know, like, he's not even, they're no, not but friends, you, but they still use that situation for him to talk about stuff or for Jess to call him out.
Yeah, like, that could be, you could use that as a setup for a scene. And yeah, like... the closest to a friend that we see Luke having is, like, Kirk. And you don't want to talk to Kirk about your relationship problems.
No.
I guess there was also the Jackson plot. Jackson still doesn't like being town selectman.
There.
That's the plot. It was kind of interesting because there was a bit... near the beginning, Jackson, like, sends Lorelai into Dosey's Market to get stuff for him because he otherwise... people will ask him for things, and when he starts talking about, oh, well, so-and-so wanted this, and so-and-so wanted that, and then so-and-so has the audacity to want this and that and the other thing, and it was definitely supposed to be he's turning into Taylor in that scene.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting, but we didn't follow up on that.
Yeah, especially because, like, there's still a gap between him and Taylor, because Taylor uses his power to turn down reasonable things, and we kind of see that in that the town is asking for unreasonable things, so maybe Taylor turns down reasonable things not because he's power hungry, but because Kirk is allergic to every sort of pine. But we don't really see that. We've only ever really seen Taylor as power hungry. And so what would have really worked, this is like this, these next three seasons will be page script doctoring Gilmore Balzi, but if they had had Jackson, or if later, I mean, for all, I can't remember, maybe he does has this later, but if he has a heart-to-heart with Taylor saying, this is why...
Yeah, the two of them need to have a fucking scene together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed that they haven't. If we're going to be doing this subplot, we need to have that scene, and I hope we do get it. I'll be surprised if we don't. Anyway, yeah, that's... did I miss anything? No, that's what I thought. Actually, okay, I did like the scenes of Emily not knowing how to date.
Yes.
Those were good. I like that we got funny Emily again, because I like when Emily is frazzled and it's fun when she's in those situations, and I like when she genuinely acknowledges that Lorelai knows things that she doesn't.
Yep.
And that was nice, but it felt like, it felt like a part of a plot that could have been a whole episode.
Well,
and it didn't go anywhere.
It's funny because we've kind of gotten this before in a very different context, and it was done better. When Lorelai and Emily went to the spa,
mm-hmm.
and she dances with a man
and then freaks out, yeah.
Yeah. And I could see that being tied to this, but we didn't get enough space, and we didn't get her talking, like, she could have even, like, if we had had that silent scene where she'd broken down, that was powerful. It also could have been, she could have, like, called Lorelai.
Yeah.
Like, any of these things, but we aren't really given an insight into what's happening.
Yeah, I hope we get some follow-up on that next episode, because that was a weird place to end things for Emily.
Yeah.
What did you think of this week's Dragon Ball Z Kai?
You know, I liked the baby fights.
Mm-hmm.
I was amused by the baby fights. I still don't think this needed to be a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, why is there a cliffhanger for Goten and Trunks' fight?
Yeah, that's frustrating, but I do think this was definitely a Journey Not the Destination episode, because there was just some really good
humor. There was some good
humor.
Stuff. I also did like seeing that Mr. Satan's good with kids.
Yes, I liked that.
I also did enjoy Chi-Chi and Bulma fighting with this horrible woman, like, I do want the Chi-Chi Bulma power hour every week,
mm-hmm.
where they are getting into fights and then teaming up, and getting into fights and teaming up.
Yeah, I liked, I definitely got the impression, like, it's funny, looking at that out of context, you can tell that this horrible woman seemed to be under the impression that, like, Chi-Chi and Bulma are lesbian soccer moms cheering on their kids, which is just hilarious, because, yeah, I like, we don't get to see Chi-Chi and Bulma together enough, and no. I always like when we get to see them together, because they're different, but they're also the same in enough ways that you can really see how they get along and they're good friends.
Yeah. I think it, like, reminds me of what Michelle Rodriguez said about the Fast and Furious series. Mm-hmm. Michelle Rodriguez was the one who was pushing for a female-only Fast and Furious spinoff, and her argument for it, like, she said she was going to walk without it because there are plenty of women characters in Fast and Furious. Not as many as the men, but I mean, like, there are plenty.
Yeah, you got Mia, you got Letty, you got Giselle.
You got, what's her name?
Elena.
Elena, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple.
There's a few. She's been in this series with Jordana Brewster playing the sister of the guy she's been into since they were kids. For 7 movies now, 8 movies now. I mean, she was dead in a couple of them, but
yeah, but they are two characters who have been staples of the series for a long time, and yeah, they're the significant others of the two male leads.
But they can count on one hand the number of scenes they've had together to be strong women who drive fast cars go boom. This is the same thing. Like, let the ladies drive fast cars go boom together. I want my Chi-Chi and Bulma scenes. I want my Chi-Chi and 18 scenes. I want my Chi-Chi and Videl scenes. I want my Bulma and 18. Like, I want brunch. Mm-hmm. I want violent brunch. and I was glad to get that. Really, I am here for crying and punching a Dragon Ball story. But why do you keep interrupting it with all this fighting?
I thought that the fights were just, like, the fights were fun because it was a nice return to, like, Toriyama's more gag fighting.
Oh, no.
Roots,
why,
which was
why
nice.
Why do I have to ruin it with Goten and Trunks fighting?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see where that goes. But I do think it's been interesting that this arc so far in general has been a little slower, but it has been more about just, like, the character interactions and the humor along the way.
And I've been glad for that.
Yeah, I feel like those things don't need to be mutually exclusive. It can move a little faster and also still be about the character interactions.
Yeah. So what questions do you have about Gilmore Girls?
I only have one question about Gilmore Girls. What does Richard eat during the week? Because we see that he has, like, basically nothing in his kitchen in the pool house because he wasn't prepared for a Friday night dinner that night.
Yeah.
But he eats on the other nights of the week, right?
And he doesn't get delivery, I don't think.
No, otherwise he would have suggested it in the first place, but also that's just not how Richard Gilmore do.
That's not how he rolls.
So what does he eat?
Like, presumably his servant cooks for him, but if his servant's doing the cooking and he only has Nutella and batteries for a dinner he was supposed to be eating by himself anyway, like, does Emily usually send something out and she's not doing that out of spite? Like, does he get cut off from food when he doesn't butter her rolls? Not a euphemism. Like, this made no sense. I have no explanation.
Yeah, that just seemed patently silly to me. That's really the only question I had about this episode of Gilmore Girls. What questions did you have about Dragon Ball Z Kai?
So I have some questions. They're all small. One, why is the announcer in the ring during the fights?
I think just because since they're baby fights, he figures it's not that big of a deal if he's standing in the ring. I do not think he'll be standing in the ring once the adults start fighting. And notice that he made himself pretty fucking scarce once Goten and Trunks started really throwing down.
Yeah, because that is one important thing, is the announcer realized this is probably Goku's kid.
Yeah.
Is this, like, I alluded to this before, but is this lady supposed to be fancy or white trash?
I think it's that she's supposed to be white trash, but, like, she has the one nice dress and her fake pearls.
Gotcha.
That she dresses up in because she's, you know, going out to a place where a lot of people are going to see her, so she doesn't want people thinking she's poor.
Gotcha. Why did Krillin and 18 not train their child?
That's a great question. I think that,
She is a toddler, so...
Yeah, I think it really is that she's very small, and she is not a Saiyan, so she's not going to have that, you know, innate baby strength that Saiyans have.
Right.
So, it just kind of seems like, I don't know, maybe they just don't want her to be a fighter, or maybe it's more, really it's just that she's tiny still. She's very small, she's still a toddler, she's not ready to start training yet. If she were a Saiyan, it might be a different story. I would say that I could give some insight on what happens when Marin gets older, except that, Dragon Ball Super Marin is still the exact same age.
Yeah. Isn't Trunks the same age, too?
Trunks and Goten are the same age. Yeah, all three of them stay the exact same age, even though, like, Gohan gets older. Like, Gohan gets married and has a kid of his own, but Marin, Goten, and Trunks just stay exactly the same age, and there is never an explanation for it.
Which is cursed. Okay. Last question. Did Goten kill that child?
Possibly.
There's a kid that Goten punches out, and they're like, oh, I guess it's sleepy time for him, or something like that. And it's like, I think Goten just killed for the first time.
7 years old. It's a good age to kill for the first time.
Yeah, poor little pepperoni. I think that's it. Who do you want to swap?
No, who do I want to swap this week? This week, I want to swap Jackson and Mr. Satan.
Okay.
Because I want to see Mr. Satan hiding outside the marketplace, because if anybody sees him, they might challenge him, and he knows that he's terrible, and he's afraid to fight even the smallest of the children inside Dosey's Market.
It's true, Mrs. Patty doesn't fight fair.
No, she doesn't, and she trains her children to not fight fair. And then on the flip side, Jackson, I don't know, what would Jackson do watching the matches? Would he just be relieved that nobody asked him to cut a giant ceremonial ribbon at the start of the tournament?
Absolutely.
Who do you want to swap?
I'm going to swap Rory and Bulma this week.
Okay.
Rory, like, she just needs to be taken out of those situations this week. Sitting in the stands giving a dressing down to a white trash lady whose white trash children are white trashing it up all over the beating up other children. She would be having a good time in her uppity white lady stance. Meanwhile, put Bulma into lunch with Lorelai and Christopher. If Christopher is going to hit on any MILF, it's going to be Bulma.
That's true.
Bulma's going to hit on him back because Vegeta doesn't care.
That's true.
And meanwhile, Lorelai is still safe and so is her relationship with Luke.
Honestly, I wonder, would Christopher and Bulma be that bad of a pair?
Not really, but she's still technically with Vegeta. We think maybe they live together and raise a kid together.
Christopher is like... Christopher's not the most present father in the world, absolutely, but he's not more present than Vegeta.
He's more friendly than Vegeta.
He's more friendly than Vegeta. And he seems to genuinely be trying to be a present dad for Gigi, so he'd probably do the same thing for Trunks.
Yeah, although...
Having a little sister to help take care of might kind of tone down Trunks' whole edginess thing.
Yes, but it would be hard to be stepfather to Trunks.
It would be a little bit difficult to be stepfather to Trunks, yeah. Christopher would need to earn his respect. And that would be a challenge. But if Christopher could overcome that, that might be a nice little family unit right there.
Yeah. So that's what we got this week. Thank you all for listening. We'd love to hear from you on our social media. Our Facebook is Gilmore Ball Z. Twitter is at Gilmore Ball Z. Email is GilmoreBallZ@gmail.com. And our WordPress is GilmoreBallZ.wordpress.com. I know. Amazing that none of these were taken. Please rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Facebook, anywhere else you get your podcasts. Spotify is new and big. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next Saturday.
So, how much money does Roshi have on the baby fights? Why doesn't Jackson just resign? I should have asked that earlier. And whose body count was higher? Goten in the World Martial Arts Tournament? Or Paris while fasting for Ramadan? Find out next time on Gilmore Ball Z.